Our scripture lesson this morning is a familiar passage to you. It is Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain. He went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and called him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many times have we considered this passage and we are immediately drawn to Peter? We are immediately drawn to Peter walking on the water until he focused on the stormy waves and then he sank. That is a legitimate point. But did you notice the sermon title this morning? I'll just tell you up front. But I'm not giving the benediction yet. I'll tell you up front this morning, I am not going to try to coax you out of the boat. This morning, I'm going to encourage you to stay in the boat. Matthew 14 is a very eventful chapter. Verses 1 through 12 report the death of John the Baptist. Verses 13 through 21 report the feeding of the 5,000. And so since we know that only men, and some scholars even say only heads of households, were counted, we know that the feeding of the 5,000 was at least 20,000. We read of Jesus walking on the water and the disciples' reaction in verses 22 through 33. Then in verses 34 through 36, Jesus heals the sick at Gennesaret when they do reach the other side of the lake. Notice the disciples had just witnessed the miraculous feeding of thousands of people. Had just witnessed Jesus feed at least 20,000 people. And then when they see Jesus walking on the water, they still doubt. Should we be all that surprised? You've heard more than once the disciples were the disciples. Bunch of dense fellows, weren't they? I mean, one would think that viewing with their own eyes what the disciples just saw, that believing would come easy. And one would not easily panic at the next challenge that confronted them. And it's also easy to armchair quarterback. It is true that disciples had witnessed the miraculous feeding only hours before. But now they're in the middle of the lake in the midst of a fierce storm. The prospects of dying are quite high. And besides, we are reminded that for the ancient mind, large bodies were not symbolic of chaos. Large bodies of water were chaos. They were not only aware of the danger, they didn't know meteorology. They didn't understand about weather patterns. I mean, they knew some things that they saw, could witness, but they didn't understand meteorology. I'm not sure our folks understand meteorology, but that's another point. They had no idea what resided in the lake besides the fish they caught and maybe a creature they had seen on occasion. They literally believed in sea monsters. I mean, let's face it, if you see something like a whale and you're in a little boat and you don't have any scuba diving equipment, you don't understand anything of it, what else would you think but that there are sea monsters? And they have to have witnessed in the past boats swallowed up by water to see no sign of the boat or the occupants again. They fear the stormy sea with a fear that's well beyond the knowledge of danger. They were terrified. When we find ourselves in the midst of chaos, I hope we're able to live what we spoke of a couple of Sundays ago. I hope when we're in the midst of the chaos that we remember that the Lord has been with us in the past and therefore God is with us in the present. But when the waves are crashing around us and the boat is filling with water, it's easy to get caught in the shock and the fear of the moment. I want to encourage you this morning that if in the midst of the chaos of the moment you don't immediately remember these things and you find yourself in shock and fear, cut yourself some slack. Don't put yourself on a guilt trip. Cut yourself a little slack. When the waves are crashing in the boat and the water is about to sink the boat, it can be a little overwhelming. But I also urge you not to stay there. So I want to say both of those together in case you missed what I'm trying to say. You get caught up in the shock and the fear of the moment. Don't put yourself on a guilt trip. Cut yourself some slack, but then don't stay there. Jesus has been with you in the past. Jesus has acted in your life before. Jesus is in the midst of the chaos that threatens you now. The disciples were in the boat in the midst of the storm. And death was staring them in the face. And into the midst of the chaos, Jesus appears, but they thought he was a ghost. The rest of this message, when I quote the scripture, I'm going to be quoting from the Common English Bible. So if you refer to your scripture lesson printed in your bulletin, that's why it'll sound a little bit different. But the Common English Bible translates the disciples' response to seeing Jesus in verse 26 as, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened, they screamed. Jesus was walking toward them. Jesus was not only in their chaos, and hear me now, Jesus had already conquered it, though the storm itself was still raging. Because you see, Remember what we just reminded ourselves of a minute ago. Large bodies of water are chaos. That's why in the book of Revelation they are celebrating the sea is no more. Sally loves to go on the beach, but she don't like to step her feet in it. In the ocean, I mean. We love to go to the beach. We spend lots of money to go to this beach. We spend lots of money on airline tickets or lots of time driving. We love the beach. The Bible doesn't love the beach. The Bible doesn't love the ocean. The Bible doesn't love large bodies of water. For the Bible, large bodies of water are chaos, and there's all kind of stuff that lurks in there ready to get you. And so for the Revelator, the beach is gone because the chaos has been wiped away. Jesus is walking on top of the chaos. Sometimes in our expressions of we've overcome something, I've stomped all over it. Now the storm's still going. The disciples are still in the midst of the storm. The storm's still raging, the waves are still high, the chaos is still there. But Jesus isn't only in the midst of it, Jesus is stomping all over top of it. Jesus is walking on it. Jesus has it conquered. Yes, the waves are still blowing, the waves are still crashing, but Jesus has beat it. He's walking on top of it. The chaos is no match for Jesus. He simply walks all over it. Allow that image to be burned into your mind this morning. You may be going through some major chaos even as you're listening to this sermon. And you may not see your chaos lessening in intensity. But Jesus has already conquered it. Jesus is walking on top of it. We have just not yet had revealed to us what the final conquering looks like. But from the boat, though battered and flooding, see Jesus walking towards you. See Jesus in the midst of your storm, stomping on your storm, not even splashing because he's walking on top of it. And hear the words that he said to the disciples that he now says to us, again, according to the New Common English Bible, be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid. Now, as Jesus is walking on top of the chaos toward the boat, we have Peter call out to Jesus. Peter walks on the water for a little bit. He becomes fearful. He sinks in the boat, and then he's rescued by Jesus. Now, typically, when we look at this passage, we notice Peter's lapse of faith when he sinks in the water. But I want you to hear me at this point as well. I want you to hear me the whole time, but I want to emphasize this one. I submit to you that his lack of faith started before that. Notice the conversation. Jesus calls out to all in the boat, be encouraged, it's me, don't be afraid. Notice that. Now look at your scripture passage. As Jesus is walking toward the water, does it say that Jesus hollers out, hey Peter, come on out. Jesus says, be encouraged. It is me, or it's me, don't be afraid. Then Peter says, Lord, if it's you. You get that? Jesus, I'm not convinced. You say it's Jesus, but I'm not sure you're who you say you are. Lord, if it is you, then call me out on the water. In response, Jesus says, come. Very crucial. Jesus did not call Peter out of the boat. Jesus pretty much said, if you want to come, in John's vernacular, come on. It's all one word. Come on. So when he did get out, he did walk on the water, and then he sank when he saw the waves. I contend that Peter had doubts in two phases. When Jesus spoke his words of encouragement, Peter wasn't convinced. He needed proof, and Jesus cooperated with Peter's request. Momentarily, the proof sufficed, but upon focusing on the storm, he sank. It was Peter's idea to get out of the boat. Jesus called Peter to him after Peter requested it. And then in verse 32, it says, when they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Let me reiterate, it was Peter that suggested getting out of the boat. Jesus said, come. I believe Peter's requesting to walk on the water to Jesus offers us two lessons. First, how often has Jesus tried to offer us encouragement and we didn't recognize him? It's not that we don't believe in Jesus' love and Jesus' faithfulness. But in the midst of the wind and the water blowing in our faces and the wind and the waves crashing so loudly that we can't hear, we find it hard to recognize Jesus' presence and assurance. Sometimes we just need to stay in the boat. Sometimes we just need to stay put. It's not that we need to run to Jesus. Jesus is there in the chaos. Jesus is already stomping all over it. Jesus is already walking toward the boat. Sometimes we need to sit in the boat and to wait for Jesus. Other translations of the Bible translate this passage so that we have the time frame. It was between 3 and 6 a.m. on a stormy sea that this encounter took place. I imagine it was difficult to see. I imagine it was difficult to hear. But if Peter would have just waited another minute or two, Jesus would have been close enough that he would have seen who it is. Sometimes we just need to wait in the boat. We don't need to run to Jesus. We need to wait in the boat. And secondly, it is often when we try to go solo that we sink. You and me, Jesus, we don't need nobody else. You and me. Though the storm was raging, the boat was afloat. When Peter got out of the boat to prove to himself that the figure was Jesus, he sank, being overwhelmed by the storm. Some scholars contend that this passage was originally a message to the church that following Jesus' departure, the church would encounter storms of persecution, but Jesus would come to them. When Peter left the community, he sank being overwhelmed by the storm. Folks, we need each other. It is through the community that we face the storm when we don't feel we can go anymore. It's through the community that we accomplish far more together for the kingdom than we ever could alone. It is through the community we experience light and hope when our individual lives are attacked by the darkness and heartache of grief. It is through the community that we are reminded that Jesus is still Lord when society is coming apart at the seams. It is through the community that we are reminded, though that society is filled with hatred, God's love is still real and able to be experienced. It is through the community that we are reminded that our lives have meaning and eternal impact. It is through the community that we are reminded that we can live in joy and peace despite society urging us to despair. And of course, it's not just any community that does this and even more. It's the community of the church. It's the community of Jesus. Remember verse 32. If you don't have an aversion to highlighting in your Bible, highlight it. When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Thus I urge us this morning to stay in the boat. Bring as many more into the boat with us as we can. And be sure Jesus is steering our boat. Let us pray. Our most gracious Lord, thank you that when the storms of life are raging, you are standing by me. Thank you that when the storms of life are raging and all I can see is the wind and the waves and all I can hear is the wind and the waves and I feel like my boat is about to sink, you're already walking all over the top of the chaos. You've already conquered it. So Lord, I just pray for each of us in this room this morning. If we're not facing chaos right now, we will. Lord, for those who may be facing the chaos now, I pray that they stay in the boat and they see you coming and they allow you to get into their boat and to settle things down. That they feel your presence, they feel your love, they feel your power. And Lord, for us who may not be facing chaos now, but the chaos will come. When the waves start to crash and the wind starts to blow, help us to look out over the stormy sea and to see you coming and to let you in our boat so that you settle it down. And even if the storm doesn't go away, you give us peace of heart and calmness of soul. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as always.